Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here with Avalanche Media alongside Dave Rohr of Northside Metrics, coming to you with another exciting Business of Digital episode. And what we wanted to talk about today is something that is very close to both Dave and I, as we have presented at probably combined hundreds, if not thousands, of conferences over the last decade in our professional career. And so what we wanted to talk about was just different tips and tricks for presenting to an audience using PowerPoint. Now, this can, the direction of this conversation can go twofold. We can talk about the stuff that makes it better for us as presenters, and we can also talk about the side of it, what we need to do to keep the audience engaged. And so one of the things that got me thinking about this, and we're going to drop a link to this, was a TEDx talk that was given on how not to die with PowerPoint, or how to avoid death by PowerPoint. Really awesome talk, but it's one of the things that got me talking or me thinking about this, and why I thought that it would make a great podcast episode. And so, first of all, hey Dave, how's it going?
Pretty good. How are you, sir?
All right, doing good. Another beautiful day for another episode. So, what I guess, just to start it off, and again, I have a lot of thoughts about this, because what I was thinking was, when I first got started, I wish that when I first started speaking, I could go back and give everybody their money back for the conferences, that they paid for. Obviously, I know that they didn't pay the whole money just to come and see me speak, but I wish that I could give them a portion of their money back, because I was just not that good. And I know that we all got to start somewhere, but I look back and I look at some of the PowerPoints that I put together, and just so many words. Like, there's no way that someone in the audience could read all the words. So many bullet points, so hard to read. Just way too text heavy, things like that. And so, again, I wanted to talk about, just over the years, kind of what I've learned. And again, this is not one of those ones where I'm saying bullet points kill kittens, because in certain cases there are uses for it when you're wanting to emphasize certain things. But one of the things that I try to do in my presentations is tell a story. Okay, so from slide 1 to slide 50, or however many slides there ends up being, I try to tell a story. And so how I go about putting that together is I start with an outline, and I basically just outline all the different slides. And when I'm putting it together, I'm thinking about, how can this work out best visually? Okay, how can I tell the story of what I'm trying to share, whether it be about influencer marketing, or whether it being about visual content, or whether it being about, whatever the topic. How can I put together something that flows and tells a story, so I don't bore or annoy the audience with just nothing but text? Because the thing that bugs me the worst, Dave, and you can, let me know if you agree with this or not, but is when you're listening to someone present and you're looking at their PowerPoint and they're basically reading word for word.
I hate that. Yes. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I can read it. Tell me something that ties it all together.
Exactly. And, it's not saying that you can't have something on there and that you read a quote, and that's not what we're talking about here, but we're talking about, let's say you have 50 slides and 50... every slide has word on it, and you're reading it, word for word. That's not what we want. So that's why I try to put together some kind of visual story. Now, I have had people in the past that have talked about, well, if I wasn't in the presentation or I wasn't in the audience, it was hard to follow just with the PowerPoint. Well, that's one of the reasons why I put these together, for people in the audience and those that are there. And so I'm sorry. But I guess maybe the other side of it is, I do try to have very detailed notes that I include in my PowerPoint presentations. So any one of them that you download from SlideShare, you'll get notes that come along with them as well. And so And I would be more than happy to send an outline, because pretty much any one of my decks that I've ever put together, I have an outline that I've created with all of my, source URLs and where I found my information and whatnot. And so I would be more than happy to send that to anybody. But again, I'm presenting to the audience that's right there. I'm not necessarily thinking about the people that are going to be viewing it on SlideShare or whatnot, which, you know, I get that we want to put our stuff there and let people have access to it and hopefully get more views and stuff, you know, utilize that tool. But again, my point is, when I'm creating this presentation, I'm doing it for the audience that's there, and that's who I'm trying to engage with. And so I don't know if you have any other ideas or thoughts on that, but that's just kind of, you know, my first opening thoughts to this whole discussion and kind of what I do as a presenter and what I do to try to keep my audience engaged when they're listening. So thoughts?
Yeah, I think it depends on if I'm creating a PowerPoint for a client deliverable or if I'm doing educational type conference, you know, training or conference type session. I think both times I start from what's the goal? What am I talking about? What's the main topic? And then, like you, I don't have that level of detail for my outline, like with where all the pictures come from. As I collect them, I tend to only drop them into the slides because I never know exactly what I'm going to need once I start working on the slides. But I will tend to always give the credit sometimes on the page if I can fit it in there, or if it's one of my photos, then I don't need to. But I try to work in at least, you know, what the photo is and a little bit of a note on there, but it's not too much, which is also why I don't update my SlideShare that often, because so often, my slides will literally just be a picture and a headline.
Well, but that's my point though, is you're following that same concept, whether it be to client or present, you know, you're trying not to have just 400 words of text on a hard to read slide. You're creating more of a visual, and that, I guess, that was like one of my main points.
It's taken me a little while to get there, because I think I'm at 40 to 45 presentations now over the last, I don't know what, 4 or 5 years. And I used to put more text on there, and it used to be partly for the user or for the audience, but also partly for me to remind me what I needed to talk about. Before I was practicing it as much, before I had the stories, because I was always nervous that I was going to forget something.
Right.
And so I would put it on there more often than not because I did want to forget something. And I also tried to cram, I broke that rule of one message per slide over time now. I am doing that 3-hour training coming up. I literally have one slide per topic.
Which, by the way, that reference can be found in the TEDx talks that we're dropping on this episode
later. Yeah, it's one message per slide. Now, when I do, it is. Because they've done studies, and we can probably find one, that show that, you know, you can't multitask. You can't read it and listen to the person, and he kind of talks about that too, where, you know, he prefers the black background for slides if he's presenting, because if it's the white, it's really bright and you'll look at it and not him. And he's really the main focus, or she is if she's, you know, whoever the speaker or speakers are.
Gotcha.
But when I do like deliverables for clients, I try to keep it still the one topic or one like idea, but you certainly can go more writing. But when you're delivering it, you don't read it. That's the thing.
Right.
When I first started, you know, having calls with clients and walking through either audits or the monthly reports, even a monthly report in Excel / kind of, you know, or, you know, quarterly reviews, which are always fun because then you get to go and, you know, hammer out 80 slides for 7 hours and then, you know, they don't ask any questions. But creating those slides, you know, it's the same type of thing. It's like, all right, what were the big projects you did? We list them out really quick in one thing. And you don't read it. You just kind of glaze over it as you're going through the presentation, as you're walking through. And it's like, here's all the stuff we did. We did this in, you know, January. We did this in February. We did this in March. And, you know, here we are late April. This is the next slide. You know, again, one topic. That topic is what we did the last quarter. Next slide is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Well, and you said something. I don't know what made me think of this, but I've been in presentations before where, you know, as you know, technical difficulties can happen, and sometimes machines stop working. And so, you know, you're stuck up there, and you have 200, 300 people staring at you. And if you're so reliant on that crutch, you know, that PowerPoint, and you keep referring, well, if I had this up here, you know, we can... No, like, I think if you do a good job with really understanding the content that you're presenting, you know, if you have any kind of those curveballs, if you will, that are thrown in your way, you know, you can improvise and you can still deliver a great message that's going to be remembered. And you don't have to have that crutch of that, you know, the text behind you or whatnot. And again, it goes with what you were saying earlier, you know, as, you know, when you first got started doing this, it was a different story than how it is now. And the confident level. And I get that. And there is a certain amount of that. So gotta take that into consideration. But I'm just thinking if you're prepared and you understand the content that's on your presentation and it does follow a story, then if something like that happens, then it's going to be easy to improvise, you know?
Yeah. And even now, like if I was to lose my slides most of the time, I still know some of the stories and I can just, I've done the outline. I've looked at the slides. I've practiced it a fair number of times, depending on if it's a new slide deck or a completely new topic. I could go, okay, how much time do I have? And I can just talk and fill it.
Right.
You know, I might not hit all of the points I wanted and I won't have the visual, but the whole thing is that, you know, and in that, you know, I think we're going to reference it quite a bit, but in the YouTube video, he kind of talks about how it's supposed to be a visual aid. I think a lot of people, you know, and I was totally guilty of this when I first started talking, and probably some days I still am from time to time on some sessions or at least in some slides, but I use the slide as the focus and not me.
Right. And that's one thing that I took from it as well is, you know, I think I've always tried to make the focus of the presentation, the slide, you know, whether it be a catchy theme, you know, like we do a lot of really cool themes and just a lot of really cool designs. Whereas, you know, you sometimes, that was a good reminder for me that, hey, the point of this presentation, the reason that people are in that room is to listen to you, not to sit there and watch, you know, the PowerPoint, but you're the presentation, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of why the last 2 years when we did the content marketing stuff, I went all offline crazy with my, you know, I won't say gadgets, but my... With my gags and stuff of like last year, bringing the beard for you, I blew up your beard and used that as a prop, you know, a prop. But I wanted to, you know, part of that was to kind of emphasize some points I was making. And again, that was a visual aid that was part of the story.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the thing that, without thinking about it, and kind of, you know, watching that video and stuff, it kind of made me realize that I probably need to try to make sure I'm doing that more than I have in the past.
You did mention something that led me to another question that I wanted to ask is, you know, you had said something about, you know, if I have new content or if it's a new deck. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm often asked to talk on visual content, for example. We do a lot of visual content at Avalanche Media. And so it's one of those areas that people are always asking me to talk on, Pinterest or Instagram or any visual network or whatever. Well, in most cases, you know, from 1 month to the next, there's not going to be a whole lot of changes. And so how much changes do I need to make to that deck? Do I need to make a new deck for every presentation? Is it all right to maybe just update it? Obviously the normal stuff, make sure if you're presenting at a PubCon, you don't have SMX yeah. logos on your slide, you know, the dumb stuff. Hopefully we can just avoid talking about the obvious, but, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are your thoughts there? Like, does it need to be brand new content for every audience, or, you know, well, here, before you answer that, like, I'll be presenting really quickly, or here in the next week, I'm going to be presenting to an automotive group, okay, a group that they're just there at an automotive conference. That's all they do, automotive marketing. They're immersed in automotive, and so a lot of what they do doesn't, a lot of the people that are there, the attendees, they're not going to be in the same audience as search conferences. And so is it okay to take that same deck and present it to another group? You know, obviously maybe make it less automotive, but, you know, any problems with that, with stuff like that, or what are your thoughts there?
I try to tailor it to the group. So if you're talking automotive, you know, I would make almost every example automotive or something that would be very close to it so that they could see real life examples. And the other thing I do is I try to, if I'm going to a region, try to tailor some of the searches. And sometimes you can't go back and get, you know, screenshots of, you know, 10 different cities.
Right.
But if there's a feature or something in Google, or if there's, you know, a client example, you know, I almost treat them as clients, I guess, would probably be the way to think about it. And that, you know, you're not going to have the logos of, you know, the client that you delivered this to last month. You're going to switch out those, right? So
yeah.
I would switch out the examples from being, you know, if 1 week you're talking to restaurants and the next week it's automotive, just like, you know, if you're talking internally, if you're creating a deck for IT, IT cares about something different than marketing, which cares about something different than social, which cares about something different than PR. Each of those groups has different cares and needs, and they're a different audience. And I would tailor it for each of those with your examples. The main kind of guts and best practices probably doesn't have to change.
And that's
from one,
there, yeah.
Yeah, from one to another. But whether I'm talking at a conference or I'm talking to clients, I try to understand, you know, anytime I'm delivering, you know, some stuff for some of the deliverables I have for my clients, we skim over some of the stuff because they are not noobs. And for us to go over it, it's pointless. It's a waste of our, you know, 30-minute or hour call.
Well, and something that I've noticed is I've, you know, been lucky to hear some really big name speakers, and, you know, multiple times. And again, you know, search industry, big name type stuff. And one of the things is I've heard, because I've been able to hear him speak so many times, I've seen some of them give the same exact presentation over the years. But one of the things that has been changed is, you know, some examples have updated, but the core of their presentation has remained the same. But one thing that I found interesting is, most every time, you know, like I've heard the same slide, I saw the same slides in four presentations from this one guy, and every time he presented it, it was a little bit different, or I got something new out of it. And so I think that if you are going to use the same slides and stuff like that, then make sure that, you know, you follow your story, but also, you know, change it up, do what you said, you know, bring a little bit of local into it. Talk about how, you know, like I may have presented in Florida a couple months ago, whereas I'm going to be presenting in Las Vegas in a week. Well, let me tailor some of the talking points or some of the examples to that local area.
Yep.
So, again, those are just some thoughts. And as far as with PowerPoints, I guess my main takeaways, and I'll give you a chance to wrap up your final thoughts, but my final thoughts with all of this, with PowerPoint presentations, would be, you know, having one message per slide, being able to tell a story throughout the presentation, and really understanding that story. And so you're not having to read your slides word for word. Have a lot of really good visuals. Do things that are going to keep the audience involved. I mean, I've had things where before, like you mentioned with the props, you know, you did the giant cutout of my beard last year. And then the year before we did these social media, like style post cutout things. And, you know, really awesome. It's a way to break it up. You know, I've done things where I've rotten swag and I've tried to keep the audience engaged by asking them questions. Hey, do you know the answer to this? You get a shirt. I'll throw them a t-shirt or something. And anyway, so there are those kind of things. But I guess the main takeaways, like I said, would be, you know, having 1 point per slide, telling a story and really understanding what's on your slide so you can engage the audience. That's kind of what I would summarize my talking points with this. So, final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, for me, whether you're doing a presentation at a conference or you're doing a presentation to a client or you're doing a presentation internally to, you know, perhaps convince the CEO, your boss, your manager that you want this tool, you need this, you know, new hire, whatever it is, I think you have to start with what's the goal. And if the goal is, you know, I want a new hire, I need to prove that, you know, I have enough work for them, then you start from that and you build your outline to build your case. If I'm doing a training or if we're doing, you know, our session on content marketing or if we're doing it on visual content, what is the goal? All right, here's the topic I was assigned. Here's the description. You know, I have to cover these different things and you work back from that. And then I think you fall into the, what you just said, one message per slide, one topic, you know, and try to follow the best practices and tell your story. And I think that's the best way, whether, no matter what you're doing with PowerPoint, I think, you know, internally or externally, that should be, and so far it's helped me. I think I suck less than I did a couple of years ago. I still pick apart every deck and every time I do a talk and I'm like, oh, I screwed this one up, or, oh, yeah. I told this story and I forgot about this, or, you know, whatever it is. You can pick yourself apart, but you know, as far as the PowerPoint itself, I'm always tweaking it, but I think those types of, I don't know, lessons, what's the word I'm looking for? Rules.
Yeah.
Rules are meant to be broken, but if you can follow those rules for the most part, I think you will not kill people with PowerPoint.
Guidelines, maybe.
Yeah, guidelines.
Well, what we'll do too, that's great, by the way. I appreciate you sharing that, but what we'll do for everyone listening, we're going to drop some links to our slide shares as well. And maybe you could check out and see, you know, go ahead, go back to the very first ones that I posted and see how horrible they were. Anyway, you'll get some really good examples of where we're at now and kind of the direction that we're going and what we've talked about with this today. And as you follow those accounts and as you follow the presentations that we post on there, hopefully they'll continue to get better and go from there. So, for Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Soltola. Thank you for joining us on this Business of Digital podcast, and we will hope to see you on the next one. Thanks, guys. Bye.